Daryl Ryder joins us now. Andy's podcast partner, our Browns beat reporter.
Ryder.
You name it. You name it. Hello, D. How are you?
Daryl.
Hello, boys.
So, riddle me this one, my friend. Is it bad that I just double-checked some things today and I'm all pumped up for, like, I believe it's March 12th when legal tampering begins? I can't wait, buddy. Here we go.
I'm happy that you're happy, Jeff. I mean, I guess I will feign sharing in your excitement.
There you go. There you go.
I'll fake it. Yeah, March 12th. Can't get here soon enough.
I can't wait. With that thought in mind, do you see Andrew Berry making, even trying to make more moves, bigger splashes in free agency this year? Or is he going to milk that draft with all those extra picks for everything it's worth?
Well, first of all, he's going to sign a quarterback. So, as we know here in Cleveland, it doesn't matter how deep in the dumpster they dive. That's always a splash when they sign a quarterback.
Hey, we're doing a whole segment on it leading up to free agency, so, you know, and then the draft. So we get it, trust me.
Oh, I know. I can't wait for who they pick.
Daryl, pick or sign?
Both. I mean, that's kind of what they're going to do both. Yeah. So
is there a formula for you? You know, I laid out yesterday, your podcast partner hates the idea of a quarterback at number two, and I understand why he hates it. But
it's one of very few things Andy and I actually agree on. So.
Well, I understand your thinking on that. I don't know that I think that that's what they're going to do. But I laid this out.
Oh, I think they're totally trading down.
Well, I laid this out for Dano yesterday, and he said, okay, I can buy that one. Veteran free agent who's had some experience, who can come in. Lesser free agent who's been a bust so far, but maybe a high draft pick, a young guy, and draft somebody in the third, fourth, second, fifth round, something like that. I can see a trio of guys coming in.
I suppose so. I could see him drafting two quarterbacks and signing two quarterbacks.
Yeah. You mean like an RG3 Kirk Cousins type of deal from back in the day?
Yeah.
One in the first, one in the fourth, something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I could too.
Because, I mean, at this point, you've got to, you know, use the old baseball analogy, need as many plate appearances and swings as you can get at this point, right? Yeah. I mean.
Get all the at-bats you can.
They're 0 for 40, so.
Oh, wow. I mean, wow, Daryl. That was brutal.
What's 0 for 42, you know? Or 44?
That's brutal.
At this point.
Brutal.
It's the truth.
Daryl, Senior Bowl, are you keeping your eye on it? And what should the Browns be hoping to accomplish at the Senior Bowl?
Well, I mean, obviously I'm watching the coverage. I don't think Andrew Berry.
Are you supposed to yawn when you say that or no?
Yeah, it's riveting stuff.
I was
kind of
watching the coverage. Made me hungry for Reese's Cups.
I am hungry for Reese's Cups. Best sponsorship ever.
That's how I say too. I said, it's subliminal, man. I was walking through the grocery store 2 days ago. And
unlimited diabetes for everybody.
They do it with popcorn now. So they do this. Oh, man, it's good. Like, jumped out at me. Anyway, keep going. What do you look?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is basically the process where the Browns confirm the scouting that they have done to this point. I don't anticipate, and it rarely happens, where needles really move all that much when you're talking about a draft board just based on whether it's the Shrine Bowl, the Senior Bowl, All-Star Games, the Combine, top 30 visits. Like, this is all about checking boxes and making sure that the information that has been gathered is accurate. And usually when you hear the media talking about, oh, this guy's flying up draft boards. No, they're really not flying up draft boards. That's where they've always been. It's just now you're finding out that that's where they've always been. So that's just a little behind the scenes, peeling back the curtain on what really goes on during draft season. So when you're hearing about, this guy's flying up draft boards. No, it's just you're finding out that teams really like said player, and that's where they have that player positioned. in their evaluation process. So it's an important event. Bubba Ventrone has been a treat to watch. If the whole special teams coordinator football coaching thing doesn't work out for him, maybe the Browns can move him to be the PA announcer or something, because he's quite entertaining to watch introduce these guys.
So riddle me this one. Even though this draft class is considered a quarterback not nearly as good as last year's and everything else, and
it's not great, Jeff. Let's call it the way it is. Not great.
We understand that. If it's possible that there's somebody later that they think they'll like as much as, say, Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders or even Jalen Milroe, would this make sense? Because I've seen this scenario several times now, and you got me going on it again. You said trade down. So if they don't like one of those guys at two, the scenario that I've seen several times is the Raiders trade up and take Shedeur Sanders.
Oh, please, please, pretty, please, can we wish that into existence?
And then the Browns would get the Raiders pick, which is sixth, and next year's number one in hopes of getting a quarterback next year in the draft, probably, you know, in the first. And we all know who probably is coming out next year in Arch
Manning.
Another
team to watch in this, Jeffrey?
Yeah.
The New York Football Giants.
Yeah, who are drafting third right now. But let me ask you this. If the Browns trade down to six and stay there, do they miss out on the best prospects in this draft? Because you wouldn't get Travis Hunter, I wouldn't imagine. And you wouldn't get Carter from Penn State. And you wouldn't get Dano's defensive tackle from Michigan, I wouldn't imagine. Is six just one spot too low? Or is six not bad?
I'm okay with it. You know, my whole thing is that they stay in the top 10. That they do not fall, even maybe top 8. Okay. You know, and you pick up the ammunition you need. So here's the new philosophy. Andy and I discussed this on the most recent episode of It's Always Game Day in Cleveland.
Click.
Feel free to download that wherever you get your podcasts, including the free Odyssey app.
And you too.
That you can arm yourself instead of trying to lose your way into the first overall pick next year, and nobody wants that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially coming off of 3-14.
Correct.
You can arm yourself to just trade for the number one pick or the number two pick, and have you'd have three draft picks to trade. You'd have, or I should say, three first round picks you could trade. You'd have your pick next year, the pick that you acquire, and then you can give up your 2027 first round pick. Small price to pay to get your franchise quarterback, and also two. You're not sacrificing first-round picks in three consecutive drafts to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing it in two drafts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also, too, I'm a firm believer, and I realize that my belief is based on hope, that the quarterback crop next year is going to be much better than the quarterback crop that is available this year. And so you are taking a gamble there. But for me, you're also taking a gamble if you draft one of these quarterbacks with the number two pick in the draft, and that's not a gamble that I want to take. Not when you have holes on your roster to fill. You need offensive line help. You need defensive line help. You need running back help. By the way, very good draft for all those positions.
Yeah.
Not a good draft for wide receivers. Appears to be a good draft for defensive backs. You need some help there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then also, too, depending where, you know, JOK is, like you may need to replace him. Right, you might have to go find yourself a sideline to sideline defending linebacker if that is available in this draft as well. So there's a lot of needs that they still have beyond just quarterback. And so if they don't use the number two pick on a quarterback here, you know, I would rather them go the safe route and take the layups rather than swing for the fences, because swinging for the fences has gotten them in the position they currently find themselves in, and I don't necessarily trust this front office to project success for players who've not shown a lot of success to this point.
I want to go back to something you said in the beginning, because we didn't talk about this in the podcast either. Just your give me the Daryl Ryder percentage of what you think odds of them actually trading that pick out.
I'm going to put it at 55%.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Don't you think
it's odd? Is that based on your gut, or are you just kind of getting inklings from people?
That's my gut. Don't you find it odd how talkative Andrew Berry was about Shedeur Sanders this week? Andrew Berry says nothing by accident.
So in other words, he's talking him up.
Bingo.
Yep.
Somebody gets it. Congratulations, Jeff.
Thank you, D. We're going to find us a quarterback coming up in a little bit, and it's going to be Shedeur Sanders.
Isn't that weird how that works?
Wearing silver and black? Or red and blue?
That seems to be the thing. Well, can I jump way, way, way too far down the road on you? I just want your opinion on this.
All right, hang on. Let me find my keys to the DeLorean. Okay, yep. Go ahead.
Peyton Manning went to Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
The Haslams are from Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
Arch Manning, his nephew, is a quarterback at Texas and, of course, probably will come out next year.
Uh-huh.
With the Manning family...
Want to run the Cleveland Browns if they take Arch?
Would the Manning family consider the Browns a preferred landing spot for young Mr. Arch?
I don't think that the Browns are a preferred landing spot for any young quarterback, to be perfectly honest with you.
That's where I'm going here.
But they do, you know, look, all sarcasm aside, all cheap shots aside, you know, Bill Musgrave is a six-time former NFL offensive coordinator. He has worked with and had success with a wide variety of quarterbacks. And I do feel like they are motivated to, or were motivated, I should say, to promote him to quarterback's coach with the intent that he was going to need to develop a young quarterback or young quarterbacks this year, even if it isn't a first-round pick, okay? Tommy Rees, you know, is highly regarded. We've talked about how a lot of folks believe he is he might be the next Sean McVay type, right? Young guy destined to become an NFL head coach. Don't want the brain drain. Hey, we got good people in the building. Let's keep them in the building type of a thing. And I feel like that's what Stefanski has done this offseason by promoting both of those individuals. You know, Rees to offensive coordinator, Musgrave to quarterbacks coach, is, you know, preventing some brain drain. Guys that he's familiar with and worked with that share his philosophy. He's got the car keys back. He's going to call plays again this year, right? So he's making sure that he has folks that he really trusts and believes in as his supporting staff in two very critical positions on his staff, right? So, you know, I don't know about the whole angling. A couple months ago, sarcastically, I threw that out, that whole Arch Manning thing, right? That, you know, you get the pick so you can trade for Arch Manning next year. Because remember, back in the day, the Haslams were very interested in trying to lure one of the Mannings to come in and help run this thing in Cleveland and get it on track. You know, and I don't know if that would be a condition of drafting Arch, right, that Eli or Peyton or somebody from that family would have to come in to the organization. But I don't know. Why not, right? As long as it's not a Mike Holmgren type of a situation. You know, I don't.
What do you mean? Everyone's got to wear Hawaiian shirts?
Ride around the golf cart, you know, show up on the Harley 20 minutes before the media shows up to make it look like you actually do something every day, and then leave a half hour after media availability is over.
Ouch, we're going to send that to him on his radio show in Seattle, right? Is he still doing that?
I don't know. Remember how he used to not do local interviews, but he was on Seattle radio pretty much on a weekly basis? Remember those days?
Yes, actually,
yeah, because,
we do.
I mean, those are...
He was getting paid $40 million a year $40 million over the course of his contract. It was like a four-year deal, so $10 million a year to do radio interviews in Seattle. Good times.
All right, don't be bitter about it. That's all.
No.
I'm not bitter. I just listen. The Browns have done so much dumb stuff over the years. We just don't have time to cover it all. But a lot of it's very, very amusing in hindsight.
Thank you, buddy.
You bet, guys.